if we want to create a change in somebody, we've got to remember what our major goal is. To change somebody, they always want to change one of two things. How they feel or what they're doing, which we call their behavior. That's the only two things people want to change. And all behavior still comes back and all feelings come back to changing their states. This is still the basic model of creating change. You've got this human being and you want to change their behavior. What you're always going to go back to is what's the state that they go into in that environment? What's the state they're in right now? And the two basic ways of changing again are change their what? Or change their focus. Now remember, focus or the way they're representing things in their mind. If you have somebody who is deathly afraid of, let's say, authority figures, you've got to change the feelings they associate to that, or you've got to change what authority figures mean to them. That's all it takes. Now why do I bring this up? Because a primary skill you're already using in your life is changing the meaning for people. And we have three ways to do it. Jot them down in your notes. Three terms that I want you to remember. Some of you have been exposed to some of these before. They are pre-framing, P-R-E framing, reframing, and deframing. Pre-framing, reframing, and deframing. The purpose of changing the frame of reference that someone is using is to change what something means to them. Here's what a pre-frame is. When you tell somebody in advance what to pay attention to, and what it's going to mean when they notice it, or when they see it, or when they hear it. Pre-framing is the most powerful way to influence the way people think that I know of. The most powerful people in influencing others spend most of their time not on how to structure their requests, like how to ask for things, but the way they set things up in advance of the request. So what you and I need to understand is that if you really want to help someone to make a change, before you actually do the change work is where you're going to really influence them the most. Before you ever open your mouth to try and actually make a change is where you're going to influence them the most. Now, how can we pre-frame people so they have tremendous expectancy for change? First of all, can doctors do this, yes or no?
Yes.
Do they do it even if they don't know it, yes or no?
Yes.
Absolutely. We've all heard of a placebo. You know what's interesting? Placebos are very powerful. Most people say, yeah, I've heard about that. Well, you give somebody colored water and you make them, you know, believe that it's really a medicine and their body heals. You want to know what's even more exciting than that? You give somebody a real medicine and you tell them it's a different medicine and their body responds as if it was a different medicine. I'll give you something real scary. There have been a tremendous amount of research studies done where they take people and they give them amphetamines. Specifically, they gave a group of medical students amphetamines. But they gave them in the form of a capsule that looks like a downer, like a barbiturate. So now here's a chemical that must speed up your body's metabolism, right? Amphetamines are going to speed. That's speed. It's going to speed you up. They give it to the doctors and they say, now these are some of the best downers that we've ever created, barbiturates. These will relax your patients in a heartbeat. They'll just drop them right to the floor. You know something? In every case in this one study, every single person, pulse drop, body drop, they responded exactly as if they're barbiturates when they were given amphetamines by a doctor who believed they were barbiturates. So guess what they did? They did the opposite. They turned around and took a different group of doctors and they said, look, this stuff will hype your patient back up. They're out of it. You give them this, they're going to have the energy and the speed that they need. And they gave them barbiturates. And in each case, even though the body had been drugged to slow down, the person's physiology sped up. It's not just that our beliefs affect the response of a drug. Our beliefs are the drug. And what you and I have to know is the pre-framing we do, it's not so much what we do, it's the pre-frame that will probably mean more to that person than even the interaction you do. See, you're strongly pre-framed here with me, right? Yes, because it creates an expectancy in people. So when you're about to do something, think in terms of pre-framing. I'll tell you the best way to pre-frame. Pre-frame things where when you communicate something, where you say, well, this probably, I don't know that this will make a big difference for you. If you take somebody who's skeptical, immediately say what you know they're thinking. Say, you know what? I don't know if this really makes any sense for you. Probably doesn't. You know, it's very basic. But, you know, what the heck? Why don't we try it? And if you do that with somebody who thinks that way, will that build rapport, yes or no?
Yes.
Or if you know somebody wants a change and they're not skeptical, what would you say to pre-frame that person to get them in the right position to be able to make a change? You'd say, you know what? What I'm going to do with you right now is the most powerful pattern I've ever developed. There's not one person who hasn't changed. You're going to love this. This is going to change your destiny. Now what's happening? They're ready for the drug. It didn't matter what you did after that. If you got that with enough congruency and they believe it, will that affect the way they represent anything you do inside their head, therefore what state they go into and what they do? Yes or no? You better believe it. So you've got to remember, pre-framing is incredibly powerful. Now, also, if you don't tell people what to notice, are there unlimited things they could notice about a situation? Yes or no? That's right. So you want to teach your clients what to notice in advance and what it's going to mean. And by the way, when that happens, here's what it's going to mean. And then immediately, they'll create the meaning that you want them to, which is your job to direct the meaning for them. Otherwise, they can go all over the place. Can people take an experience that's very positive and interpret what it means in a way that's very negative? Yes or no?
Yes.
Absolutely. So I'm a master pre-framer. And my pre-framing, I'm always doing it front. I can get people to do anything because I frame it before I do it. And I frame it in a way that relates to whom? To them, to their benefit. And I ask questions, even though they're rhetorical questions, so I know they're going to answer them. Right? When you're one-on-one, you can totally ask questions. But I ask questions. Does that make sense to you? Do you follow me? You know, if I were to do this, you might be wondering, why am I doing this? Let me tell you why we're going to do this. And then I tell you why. Then I do it. Then I tell you why I did it. Right? And I ask you, did that work? It's a constant framing process. You don't want to speak without a frame. I'm always controlling the frame. And that's the power. So years ago when I went to the Spurs, I walk in and I know they have a different frame. They have a different frame of reference about me than I want them to have. So I got to come in and break that pattern, establish the frame from the very first moment. So I walk in there and I'm supposed to be talking to the players. And the management decides, we got Tony Robbins, so let's bring in all the ticket takers. Let's bring all the people from the front office. Let's bring everybody else. I mean, we got Tony Robbins, let's take advantage. They move it out of the locker room to some other facility. Then they go, we got him here, let's get some cameras and capture this and we'll use it for the future. So they put up cameras, they put a bunch of white people in the room, right, when their team is all African American and they can't stand these little ticket takers because these guys are all super achievers, right? And the team has just won a bunch of games in a row and they've not had one day off. And Dennis Rodman is in the group. Right? So I walk in, and the first thing that happens, Dennis Rodman comes in, he's got these glasses in his pocket, he sees this little workbook thing I got, he takes it, rips it in half, throws it on the floor, slumps down his chair, and puts on his glasses so he can't see his face. I thought, I guess I probably need to do something, right? So when I got up there, one of the first things I did is I knew their model of the world, I did my homework. I found out who was there, found out that many of them were extremely religious, right? Found out that often they did a prayer before they started, you know, actually went on the game, even though, you know, not everybody shared that belief, the majority of them did. So I found out about what their mindset was and so forth, so I got up, and then I was supposed to get this great framing introduction, and the coach last minute said, I'm going to have somebody else introduce you. Because the coach was afraid of being the person who brought me to them on their one day off. So now, and I'm supposed to have 3 hours, and the last second he tells me, you got an hour. He says, but you can keep them for three. But the NBA only allows us to hold them for an hour. So after an hour, we have to let them be able to go. But they'll stay. Right? There's only a few times in my life I've lost my voice. And I lost my voice the night before. And I've got the most scratchy, horrible voice you can imagine. And then, since the cameras are on and the general manager is there, who they all hate, his name is Popovich, they take and give me a jacket that they want me to wear that says the Spurs on it. Right? Because they want that like part of this whole visual capture thing. Right? I'm thinking, oh, my God, right? So I go up, they introduce me, and one of the players introduced me. So I said, he's a really nice guy, and he loved my stuff. But he doesn't introduce people, so he's freaked out. You know, and all his buddies, and everybody's sitting in their chair like this. Right? Because they hear all these white people around them in the back, all these ticket takers, non-achievers, all this other stuff going on. So he gets up to introduce me. I said, what are you going to say? And I said, why don't you share these three things? You know, so I had some social proof. He gets up, and he forgets everything, and he goes, the dude we're bringing up today is really sincere, and he's a good man. Tony Robbins. So I walk in, and all the white people in the back are clapping, which immediately makes these guys not want to. Nobody does anything, right? And I walk up there, and I didn't want to wear the jacket. They say, no, you got to wear the jacket. So I'm wearing the Spurs jacket, like the ones like they wear, right? And I walk in front of the room to this group of dead people in the very front. Right, and in the back, all this happiness bouncing around, happy white people. So I get up there and I introduce myself and I said, you're probably wondering why you're here. First thing I said, very first thing, probably wondering why you're here. You just won 9 games in a row. You haven't had a day off. It's your first day at home. Right, you're supposed to have the day off, and now you got some white guy standing in front of the room who's never played basketball before in his entire life trying to show you how you can play better when you just won 9 games in a row. You're probably wondering why you're here. You're probably wondering what he's doing wearing a Spurs jacket that he never earned. Right? You can see some of the heads going like this, you know. And all of a sudden, I even see Rodman is like looking up now, you know, staring, right? I said, those are good questions you got to be asking at this point. I said, I am not here because I earned this jacket. We're going to talk about that in a second. And I said, I'd be real unhappy if somebody took my one day off. I said, and I had nothing to do with that, but I am here and I am responsible to deliver for you. And you only have to be here an hour. You're going to be here for three. I said, now, you may say that's bull, you're going to leave, and you have the choice to do that, but you won't, and I'll tell you why, because I will deliver results to you that you've never seen before in 3 hours. And I'll deliver enough in the first hour that you'll stay. I said, because you're going to see that while I may not know how to play basketball, I've worked with the finest people in the world in each of these categories. I went bam, 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 bam. But more importantly, I don't believe I have all the answers, but I really do care and I really can deliver. And there's another reason why you got to be able to listen to me, because you've never made it past the first round of the playoffs. And everybody looked, right? Right? And I said, and I'm not suggesting that I can get you beyond it, but I know you can get yourself beyond it. I know there's only a few things keeping you. It's not like you're miles away. There's only a few little things. But if you don't stop to look at them, you're going to be in trouble. And what happens is when we succeed, we tend to party. And when we fail, we tend to ponder. And the worst thing that's happening to you right now is you're succeeding. I said, so before we start, I want to say two things. First of all, I know that prayer is an important thing, so I'd like to see if we could be guided in this session. I'd like to know if you, Avery, who's one of the ministers on the team players, would you get up and do a prayer? Yeah, it comes up. And they usually, I've heard they do these resounding, emotional type prayers. He gets up and says, Lord, please guide us through an effective day. So I'm like, oh my God, right? Have I created a frame, by the way?
Yes.
Yeah, I've created a frame that I don't believe I have all the answers, and I got answers. I created a frame that I don't deserve to be here, and I do. Right, I framed several different things, and I'm going to deliver. But then I finally said, and here's the bottom line. I said, now, I usually hear a more resounding prayer out of you guys. Maybe you don't think we have much of a prayer of achieving anything here. And I got a little bit of a smile. I said, so the first thing I want to do is this. And I said, I ripped off the jacket. I don't deserve to wear this jacket. So I went up to the team captain, and I handed him the jacket. I said, at the end of this time, if you feel I've added so much value, I deserve this jacket, then you come and bring it back to me, and I'll be happy to wear it with pride. But I shouldn't be wearing this thing until I earn it. And I said, at the end, if I haven't earned that thing, you need to get in my face on top of it for taking your time. I said, that won't happen. I said, let's begin. Right? And it was like, whoa, totally different frame. I said, the way we're going to begin is you, David Robinson, come here. And I get him up and he stands this much taller than I am. Like, this is his shoulder. And I thought, is that what small people feel like next to me? It's like, this is bizarre. Never experienced that in my whole life. So he gets up there and then I start working on him to create the result and get him going. But it's all framing. It's all framing. It's what I do first. If I had tried to just go on and talk for 15 minutes without creating the frame first, they would have eaten me alive. And then I got Dennis here. So I keep framing Dennis in the middle of my talk. And I talk about a variety of things. And I said, I know about you, Dennis. I mean, I watched you last night. You're one of the only guys that took time to sign autographs for the kids. I said, I saw that. I know everybody talks about, you know, Dennis is a problem. Dennis is this. I said, I know what you wanted. You want to be totally unique and separate and on your own. And I know you're as good as they get. And I'm not here to blow smoke about it. What I saw to you, though, is I saw you take time for those kids. So I know who you are inside. And I'm really grateful you did that because I brought kids who I was coaching, my kids that are in the Champions program, sponsoring college educations. I flew them down the night before. And so the first time they were on an airplane and everything else for most of them, and they came to the team. And most of the team, at the end of it, just blasted by them all. But Dennis actually took time to do it. So I noticed that, acknowledged it. And you should have seen Dennis. Like, somebody really knows I'm a good guy. Right? Did you see him? I don't know if you saw him in his interview right before he got on the Lakers, the day before the Lakers took him on. He's crying, going, yeah, nobody loves me and all that stuff. Everybody's got that need, that fear of love and fear of not worthy, including Dennis Rodman. So he just brightened up. And eventually, when we're doing stuff, he's taking notes, took his glasses off, you know? And at the end of an hour, you know, these guys were participating with me. But not at the level I'm used to, right? Because every time they start doing something, the people in the back are drowning them out. They don't want to be known like those people. So I get them going, and then I get them going, ask them a question. They would never yell back the answer if there was only 12 people. So finally I said, okay. I said, your hour's up. I said, so we're going to take a break right now. And I said, but I got to tell you something before you go. I said, I know you've played with me, you've taken notes, which I know you guys normally would never do. I know you've gotten value in what we've done. I said, but I haven't scratched the surface of what we need to do here if you're going to get the result that you want. And I said, I got to tell you frankly, two things. I said, all you people in the back, I said, you're out of here. Leave. And everybody looked at me, and the general manager looked at me, and I said, leave. The boys and I need to have a talk. And the general manager looked at me, I looked at him. He went, okay, and he cleared the room. So it was just this big room now, and it was just me and the players. right? They all look at me and I said, listen, I don't need you to placate me. I said, I understand you got value and I'm appreciative of the attention you gave me, but I haven't even come close to delivering for you, and I'm not one of those people in the back. You don't belong in the same room. This is a team meeting. I said, there are withhold communications here. There are certain skills that need to be handled. And I said, I'm asking you a question, and you're not giving me any answers. You're nodding your head. And I just got to tell you something. That is not peak performance. And I said, I'm not here to control you and have me say, you jump and you say how high. That's not what I'm about. But if I'm going to deliver for you, then you got to deliver back. But I said, you can leave right now for 15 minutes or leave completely. At the end of 15 minutes, I'll be in this room. If you want to come back, I have one requirement. You play full out with me. If I ask you a question, you yell back the answer. If I say jump, you say how high. Not so I control you, but so we get your result. And if you don't want to do that, I'm totally cool because I'm only here to serve you. If you get that, you'll be back. If you don't, you won't. I'll see you. And I got up and stormed out. Right? And I was on the edge before doing this because it was like they were all happy. If I'd finished, it was all cool. And I got outside. It's like, Robbins, why do you have to always go for everything? And I knew that Rodman wasn't going to come back. And I thought, well, David Robinson will because he got so much value out what I did with him. And I was calculating who was going to come back. I get back in the room and nobody's there 10 minutes later. So I thought, well, they're getting a break. 15 minutes, 20 minutes, nobody comes in the room. I'm thinking, oh, man, why didn't I just let them go at the stand? 0 to 10, they were at about a 7.5 or 8, and they normally at a 3. I was like, why didn't I just settle? Why wasn't that fine? And I thought I was just going to ruin my reputation. And I said, I cannot play half. I just can't. I won't. And then Avery Johnson comes in as the guard, and then David Robinson did. And those are two guys I knew would come back, or at least I thought they would. And now I was like, okay, well, at least they came back. And a couple more. And then Rodman walked in. And then every single person walked back in and sat down. We understand the rules? And they went, yes. I said, no, do we understand the rules? And they went, yes. Right? And we cranked. And then I got them to be so honest and do things they had never done before. It was unbelievable. And then towards the end, I would do woodbreaking with them. And so now I get David Robinson up there and holding for him. And I'm like, this must be what it looks like when my hand comes through that thing. It's like unbelievable, right? So, and just before he's about to cut loose, the general manager, Popovich, screams, no, no, no! Because he's afraid he's going to get injured or something, right? So exposes, no more! No one else touch a piece of wood! No, 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 all the stuff. And all the guys now are pumped out of their mind. We're working as one team. We're totally unified. We've worked for 3 hours together. This is the peak. He's going to screw up my entire peak of my program, right? He says, not another person touch. I don't want anybody hurt. I said, listen, they're not going to get hurt. He goes, I will not allow it. So I thought, okay, there's a frame. There's a frame here. What's the frame? I'm always looking for what's the way to frame this. So I said, okay, great. We're a team. If the rest of us can't do it, you do it, Popovich. Come here. Because I knew they all hated his guts, right? I said, you're part of this team, right? He goes, no, I'm not going to do it. Everybody around, it was like a movie. They all stepped in and said, Popovich. He's this scrawny little white guy. These giant black guys going, Popovich. Right? They just hated him, right? So he comes up and he goes, fine, I'll do it like it's Rodman's face. Really brilliant guy, right? Really smart, really intelligent. I said, great. No, not like that. He's like, and he's like this to do his windbreaking. He's carved up like this and every muscle's tight as a... I said, no. Elegantly. You have to do this elegantly like you run the team. And the guys, they just loved it now, right? I said, come on. And I'm like, Popovich. And they said, okay, cool down, Popovich. Get loose. Here's how you do it, And some of the other guys came by and started bouncing his legs and getting him so he's there and everything else. And when he exploded through that, the guys went crazy. Wood went everywhere, and he's smiling from ear to ear, and I said, better put your hand here. Oh, yes. I said, I'm out of here, and I left. Other secret, leave them on the beak. Right? To try and not do it, get everybody, no, it's not going to work. It's done. Right? And they were out of their mind. Totally thrilled beyond their imagination. I built an identity with them. So then I come to the game and say, hey, Tone, come on over here. It's a whole different experience. But I did it from framing. I framed it. Does this make sense to you? You got to do this. You got to frame. What you do up front determines what they're going to hear afterwards. And my pre-framing, I'm always doing up front. I can get people to do anything because I frame it before I do it. And I frame it in a way that relates to whom? To them, to their benefit. And I ask questions, even rhetorical questions, so I know they're going to answer them. Right? When you're one-on-one, you can totally ask questions. But I ask questions. Does that make sense to you? Do you follow me? Well, if I were to do this, you might be wondering, why am I doing this? Let me tell you why we're going to do this. And then I tell you why. Then I do it. Then I tell you why I did it. Right? And I ask you, did that work? It's a constant framing process. You don't want to speak without a frame. I'm always controlling the frame. And that's the power.